All right, Matthew chapter 9, starting with verse 18. It says, while he was saying these things to them, behold, interruption, okay? A ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, my daughter has just died. Now, worship, a lot of times we don't understand when we're reading about worship. But when you kneel in front of somebody and you make a request, you're worshiping. Because the fact, and you'll see this in stories, they'll either come kneel before Jesus or they will literally bow down. And that's worship. The word for worship, proskuneo, means to bow down. And in some cases, grab the hand of the Lord and kiss it, because that was the custom of the day. But they literally put themselves down low to worship. We don't see that as much, but I call it carpet time, okay? So when you do carpet time, because I like carpet, sometimes I didn't have carpet time, I just had to do concrete time. But it's still, carpet time is much better, okay? So he knelt down and he began to worship Jesus. And then he said this, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her. So what's that mean? I want you to come and touch her. He didn't say, come and make a proclamation, right? He didn't say, come and cause lightning to fall. He said, I'm asking you to touch my daughter. Period. And that's going to bring a miracle. And the only way you can touch somebody is by being present. You can't touch somebody by being far away. You got to be close. Because I know about you, my arm's only so long. You got to be able to touch somebody. And you got to connect with them. And it's a fact of life. It's a fact the way God designed us, that he created us to touch us. And I want you to see it in the artwork. I don't want you to ever forget that God, that Michelangelo got a revelation. I believe it was revelation God. How did God create Adam? How did he bring him to life? By touch. Just a finger, in that case, just one finger. That's all it took. I believe that Michelangelo used that. That's all it takes from God is one finger, touch. He doesn't have to go, you know. It's just a touch. And we'll see what happens here. He says, lay your hand on her and you'll live. And Jesus rose and followed him and his disciples. So this is going on, and behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood, the woman was bleeding for 12 years, came up behind him and touched. Everybody say touch. So here's another touch. It's the person wanting to touch Jesus. So here is a situation where you have someone who wants Jesus to touch them. Lord, touch me. And then there's a situation where they, in faith, want to touch Jesus. Now, what does that mean? Touching Jesus means you got to get close enough to touch him. You've got to be in his presence. You got to get close. And in the other three stories, there was a crowd. She had to push her way through a crowd of people. And all she asked was just one touch and give me the most, well, to me, the hem of the garment or the fringe is the lowest part of the garment that you could touch, right? The bottom hem. She said, okay, if I can just touch the fringe, what does she say? I will be saved. I will be made well. Remember, the words, there are words for healing in the Bible. But there's also words for being saved. The word for I will be made well means I'm going to be saved and I'm going to be the way I'm supposed to be. You know, salvation means you becoming everything that God wants you to be. And that means an eternal person, eternal creature. That means healthy. That means prosperous. That means, you know what I'm saying? Salvation is God wanting you to be. You stepping into exactly what God has for you with no interference. That's salvation. That means we're going to heaven. Salvation isn't just going to heaven. Can someone say amen to that, please? Yeah. It's not just that. Though it's very, 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 very important. So we know we're going to go to heaven. We know that we have eternal life. But also, salvation is having everything that God intended for us and walking in it and being made whole in this life, in this world, on this ground. And so she said, I just have to touch him. I will be saved or healthy. Jesus turned and seeing her said, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you saved. Again, he tells her and actually makes a declaration that it's by faith that you're going to get what you want. And Jesus makes that clear. Actually, I believe that by declaring your faith, making you whatever, that is Jesus's way of saying amen to you. So if I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, I want you to heal my back, and Jesus says back to me, your faith has made you well, that's it. It's happening. That's it. When Jesus makes a declaration like that in his presence, if Jesus were to walk in and say that to any one of us, we would be instantly healed. Why? Because it's his presence. It's his presence and it's his word that makes it happen. Because she said, I have to touch him. And the other guy said, come touch my daughter. There had to be a connection with the person. Everybody say person. The person of Jesus. And when the person of Jesus came, then the word of God was there together with his presence. And then he says, okay. Instantly, the woman was made well. Instantly. That hour. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, they were starting their mourning. They were starting their, what they do, which was the wail. They did that for a certain period of time. Crying out loud, wailing, playing music, sad music and stuff. And Jesus said, get out of here. Go away. Go, go, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. In the New Testament, death is never, people, Christians don't die, they sleep. That's what it says. I mean, they fell asleep. This person fell asleep. That person fell asleep. That person fell asleep. And the other term that was used in the New Testament was exodus. Peter said, I'm going to make my exodus soon. Which was the term that was used of the Jews coming out of what? Egypt. I'm going to make my exit. That's where we get the word exodus, exit. They're very similar words. So Christians don't die. Christians sleep. Christians may leave this earth, but that is their exodus from Egypt and coming into the promised land. And I believe that we should always celebrate. Come on, wouldn't you celebrate your exodus and come into the promised land? I believe that what we call funerals, and they should be a celebration of someone's exit. Man, I'm out of here, baby. I'm coming into my promised land. I'm ready to eat some of that great grapes and, you know what I'm saying, enjoy the sweetness of the good things that God has for me. And I don't have to deal with that Pharaoh, president. I mean, no, you know what I'm saying? Just kidding. Have to deal with all that mess that's out there in Egypt, right? Praise God. All right, we're not going to go political. That's crazy. So, all right, so here we are. 12 years, it says, When the crowd had been put outside, he went and took her by the hand, and the girl stood up. So in this case, the touch was grabbing her hand. This story was so important to God that he put it in three of the four Gospels. Three of the four Gospels, because it was such an important story about touch, I believe, about Jesus touching and about being touched. And the word talitha kum, that's in, I want to say it's in Luke, but I think Luke has the most detailed one. But in any case, in this particular story, he just touched her by the hand. In another story, he said, talitha, little girl, stand up. Get up. That's right. Get up. Little girl, get up. It's in Mark. Okay, good. There it is. There it is. Little girl, I say to you, get up. Talitha kumi. And you know what? Mark put it in their native language. Because he wanted you to really get it, that this is something that you can do, I believe. Talitha is Aramaic, which is the language that Jesus spoke. So he put it in his original language, the way Jesus would have said it, exact words, not in Greek, which was what the New Testament was written in. Okay, Talitha is little girl, kumi is, I say to you, get up, just get up. Okay, and Mark talks a lot more about this story, and so does Luke. But here's what I would like to say about this. When the ruler came to Jesus, he worshiped him. And when he worshiped, he said, "I need your touch. Can you come to my daughter and touch her? Come and touch her." And Jesus said, okay. And that's what he did. Now, when he touched her, he also said something to her. And here's where I think it really applies. There are some situations in our lives, and I want you to say, this is a both-and kind of situation. I believe that a Christian life consists of times when we want Jesus to come to us, and we need him right where we are, right here. And it's not so much that we touch him, but it's so he can touch us. In other words, he'll know exactly what to do, exactly what to say, and how to do it. So it's Jesus touching us. We need him to touch us. And there are times when he will touch us. And it may be through a word, it may be you may see a vision. There may be you have a dream. I mean, it gets very real. And Jesus said, you know, you don't have me with you all the time. And that's the truth. I mean, the Lord's presence all the time here. Obviously, God fills up everything. But Jesus doesn't just show up everywhere. And let me tell you, when he does, you know it. That's the thing. If you've ever had Jesus show up in that kind of way, you never forget it. You know, you just don't ever forget it because it just, nothing's the same. I just feel that there are times when he has got to come, but then there are times when Jesus is near and it's our job to seek him, to touch him. That takes our effort, our faith, so you can have faith for Jesus to come to you. Right? And the little girl couldn't go anywhere. I'm just thinking about the situation we have in the hospital now. We've got somebody in the hospital that cannot go anywhere. There's only one thing that's going to happen. He's going to come and touch her. That's it. If he doesn't come, you know what I'm saying? He's going to come. That's what I'm believing for. Come, touch the daughter, and get her up. Okay? But then there are times when God says, I want you to find where Jesus is and touch him. I want you to do it. I want you to have the faith so that you can touch him. She says, if only I could touch him. Now, that would be a good song title. If only I could touch him, I'll be made whole. You know, that's all I need. That is all I need. Now, Jesus in that situation didn't say anything afterwards. He said, "Who touched me? Oh, who touched me? And you better tell me who you are. Something happened. I felt power. Go out. Who touched me? Because you are whole." Right? That's different. And I believe that as we pray and as we seek the Lord, I want us to be obedient to both scenarios. Push through. And just get a word from the Lord that says, "Hey, I'm going to do this. But when I do this, I'm going to touch him." And I know that there are times in my life where the Lord has said, "I want you to do this." And I felt motivated to touch the Lord. That may be fasting. That may be going somewhere to spend time with God. That may be going to this weekend. Setting aside when you may be rather doing other things. Set aside times to touch him. And then be touched. It applies to so many things in the Christian life. And God's people, there are times when we are actively waiting on the Lord to come to us. That happens a lot in worship. But you can touch him also by being active in worship too. So you could be jumping and dancing when you may not feel like it. When you say, "Well, that's not my personality." Or, "That's just not me." Okay, why don't you let it be God and not about you? How about it be about Jesus and not you? You see what I'm saying? Don't put up these barriers to faith. Go for it. Do it. Don't drink the Kool-Aid out there in the culture that says it's all about you and me. It's not about anybody else. Be who you really are. You are the most important person in the world. You know, that's the world's talk today. And put, you know, make Jesus. Make it about him. And let your faith reach out to him. And then sometimes just say, "Lord, if you don't come, I know nothing's going to happen. I just know. So I'm asking." And he was on his way. He was on his way. So that's just the word of the Lord I have for y'all today.